Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
We've got three awesome tight ends at the top. And then what? Welcome to your 2018 tight ends preview. A lot of strategy with this position. We're going to tell you everything you need to know. I am Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Heath Cummings. Jamie Eisenberg is off today. And guys, how likely are you to have Gronkowski, Kelce, or Ertz on your fantasy team?
Hello, Adam.
Hi.
I'm going to say I'm fairly likely that I'm going to have one of those three, especially if I'm picking, say, between slots 1 and 6.
Heath?
I would give that a 4 on the likely-o-meter.
Oh, the likely-o-meter.
The likely-o-meter. It could certainly happen. I'm not taking Gronk until middle, late second. I'm not taking Kelce until early third. I'm not taking Ertz till late third.
Well, you'll be happy to know that ADP will help you out because Gronkowski off the board 24th overall on Fantasy Pros. Now, all season long, CBS Sports is delivering the best fantasy football advice. We're doing it directly through the Google Assistant. You'll be able to compare players and get insights into who to draft all month long. We'll turn to Dave and Heath today to find out how this works later in the show. That's the Google Assistant. Very cool app. Please check it out, and we're going to give you a little demo later in the show. So Jamie's actually in New York, going to be covering some preseason games and then doing the flex draft on Saturday with me. So unfortunately not here for the tight end preview. Tomorrow we're going to review our IDP league. We did the draft yesterday. I got an A+, just so you know, from the fantasy journalists. We'll talk about that in depth tomorrow. But yeah, we'll have Chris Harris on actually to talk IDP. Today all about tight ends and the podcast league. I will make the announcement today. So I asked you this question about quarterbacks. Let me ask you today about tight ends. How many tight ends are you comfortable with as your starter?
As Heath and I race to look at our
rankings. I will answer this in the same way that I answered yesterday's. There are 9 tight ends that I am comfortable starting for 16 weeks this year, barring injury. And that ends with Trey Burton at number 9 for me. There are probably 24 tight ends that I'm comfortable starting on a week-to-week basis, depending on their matchup.
I'll go 10.
10? Who's 10 for you?
My 10th in, well, it depends on what type of, or it doesn't even matter. I'm looking at my PPR ranks, but I have a feeling it's going to be the same guy, and it's going to be a guy that people are going to hear, and they're going to be like, whoa.
Say it, Dave.
What do you mean?
Say it.
It's different guys in different leagues. It's going to be 11 in non-PPR and 10 in PPR.
Say it.
Kyle Rudolph.
Oh, that's not who I thought you were going to say.
You thought I was going to say Jordan Reed?
I thought you were going to say Eric Ebron.
No.
Oh,
Ebron is not in my top 12.
You couldn't possibly. You could not possibly draft. Now, listen, Eric Ebron might be the steal of the draft. He might have a great year. You can come back and listen to this retroactively and make fun of me. But as of right now, on August 9th, you could not go into your draft going, I'm going to take Eric Ebron at tight end, and that's it, and I'm going to be just fine.
Heath,
no way.
Later today, and I don't know when everybody's going to listen to this, but Andrew Luck makes his preseason debut.
Yep.
What if he throws a touchdown to Eric Ebron in that game?
Well, I might move him up to 10th. I have him 11th
right now. Off of one preseason touchdown.
I have him 11th right now. There's the number 10 tight end is also playing, and that tight end situation is kind of in flux, and I'm definitely the highest in the industry on him. So it's possible those two could swap spots tonight.
I also want to lay this question on you, Adam. You say that you can't do it. You can't pull the trigger on Eric Ebron.
Well, not by himself and go into the draft. Like,
you know,
can have
what?
Him and
you
someone
can
else.
Stream tight ends, though, so you don't. You can draft 2 if you want to. I'm great with that. I do it sometimes. But if you're going to start Eric Ebron week 1 against the Buffalo Bills, I think. Then
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati Bengals?
Unless he gets traded to Baltimore. Then
he plays the Bills. Okay, against the Bengals? Then I'm fine with that. Draft him, and if he's terrible for 2 games, then start somebody else in week 3.
I want to ask Adam about the other tight end in that Bengals-Colts tilt. If you had to pick between Eric Ebron and Tyler Eifert.
Eifert.
You can't pick death. You're going with Eifert.
Eifert, one of my fun stats today. A tight end has been first or second in touchdown catches for the Bengals in 4 straight seasons. Twice Tyler Eifert, once Jermaine Gresham, once Tyler Croft. Andy Dalton hits up his tight ends. Look,
he does.
Guys, There, Jack Doyle is there. Jack Doyle was good. Jack Doyle was better last year than we've ever really seen Ebron be.
Are we going to break into the full Eric Ebron section of the podcast now?
Tyler Croft scored more touchdowns than Jack Doyle last year, right?
Probably. That's a nice argument for Tyler Eifert. But all right, yeah.
No, Tyler Croft's still there.
Who cares? Give me a break. Get out of here, Tyler Croft. We're all about Tyler Eifert now.
and this is just a glimmer of what you'll find late on draft day if you decide to wait on tight ends. And if you are thinking to yourself that you've just wasted the last 120 seconds of your life listening to us glam and glam and glam about Ebron and Eifert and Jack Doyle and Tyler Croft. And
are you glomming about our glomming?
The Bills. We said Buffalo in there. I mean, this has been a headache. It might lead you to take a tight end earlier than you think.
Exactly. So that's the thing, right? So it's not a great position. It's going to be streaming at the end. We'll tell you about the guy, the gems. I mean, Heath kept alluding to that number 10 tight end that he has that he's higher on than the rest of the industry, and that would be Hayden Hurst of the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens love to feature the tight end. But you know you've got a great player in Gronk, and then there's a question that I think is really important when it comes to Ertz and Kelsey could impact a big season. They both scored 8 touchdowns last year. Could impact a big season. Is that what I said? Could impact fantasy seasons in a big way. Both Ertz and Kelsey caught 8 touchdown passes last year. Going into that year, going into 2017, neither of them had ever had more than 5 in a season. How confident are you that Ertz and Kelsey can get back to 8 touchdowns?
Ertz, yes. Kelsey, not as much. What do you think of that answer?
Surprising. I would probably reverse it, but I don't have either of them projected for 8 touchdowns this year. The thing is, and I know it matters because of how many total points they score and how much better than they are than the rest of the position, but Travis Kelsey with 8 touchdowns scored like 40 more fantasy points than any tight end not named Zach Ertz or Rob Gronkowski last year.
Right.
So if he loses a touchdown, which is what I'm projecting, he scores 7 this year, he still crushes the field.
But the question wasn't necessarily about crushing the field. It was touchdown production between the guys that are considered number 2 and number 3 at tight end.
So if you think Ertz is going to score more touchdowns than Kelsey, why do you have Ertz ahead of Kelsey in rankings?
In non-PPR, I do.
Oh, wow.
I think he's got more upside based on his situation versus Kelsey's.
So some stats about the position. In 2 of the last 3 seasons, the elite tight end or tight ends, whether that was just Gronk, just Kelsey, or last year both, they performed like top 12 wide receivers 2 of the last 3 seasons. The fantasy points for the number 12 tight end, and we usually play in 12-team leagues on CBS, has decreased 3 straight seasons. So the number 12 tight end has done worse 3 straight seasons. And this stat right here kind of sums up tight end. Cameron Brait was number 8 in non-PPR and number 10 in PPR last year. In 6 of his final 9 games, he scored 0 or 1 fantasy point in non-PPR. Could not even get to 20 yards in 6 of his final 9 games. Was completely useless, and yet he was a top 10 tight end. And it doesn't take much to finish as a top 10 tight end, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And perhaps the most important stat of all, I want everybody to remember, Travis Kelce led all tight ends last year in interceptions thrown with 1. He threw an interception. So, you know, how does that impact a tight end? Big way, I assume. Okay. Not funny. Dad joke. Let's move on.
I'd take a dad joke right now.
I made one earlier today, and my wife said, hashtag dad joke. Like,
what was it?
I'll think of it. It was,
you can't remember?
It was really bad.
You're making dad jokes, but you've got great, great grandpa brain.
It was really bad. What is your general tight end strategy?
So if it's convenient, I'll take one of Gronk, Kelsey, and Ertz with one of my first 3 picks. Probably not my first round pick, though. Probably more like my second.
What? Probably you're never ever taking one of them.
I know. That's why it was dumb for me to say one of my first 3 picks. If I can't get one of them, I'm looking to get a tight end that I'm comfortable beginning the season with as my starter, not necessarily streaming, at a fair value. I can't look at it as I'm trying to steal a tight end. Like with quarterbacks, I felt like I was trying to steal them, right? Mm-hmm. Tight end, you can't do that. You'll be waiting all day and you'll end up with Tyler Ebron or Eric Doyle. and you'll be upset with yourself. I think you will be. And I think that there's just an inherent advantage to getting one of those top three tight ends because they produce more than the rest of the field.
Okay, Heath, how about you? What's your general tight end strategy?
Are we doing this again this year?
What?
Do you remember the Heath, each position? What is your general strategy for this position?
I reject it. I reject.
It will be completely dictated by what happens in the draft room on draft day.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
So you're not looking for a tight end at value. Like I suggested, it's smart to go into your draft hoping to get a tight end at a fair value.
I am looking for every player at value. I will take Travis Kelce if he's the best player on my board at that time. And so, yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm shrugging like I understand.
You know the acronym.
I do, but I don't really believe it because I feel like you go in there thinking to yourself, okay, these top three tight ends were this important to me and I'll take them. And if I don't, then what do I do? You know, like, do you want to take, because I'm a little afraid of the middle tier. I'm a little afraid of Jimmy Graham.
I will take Olsen and Graham in the sixth round.
I think I remember the acronym, by the way. It's seriously no intentional positional strategy.
Snips. Snips this year. Seriously, Adam, no intentional positional strategy.
Well, how about this then? If I miss out on the top nine, which would be Gronk, Kelce, Ertz, Olsen, Graham, Ingram in some order, Trey Burton, Delaney Walker, and I'm probably not going to, I might take Walker. Oh, and Kyle Rudolph. I don't know if that's 9 or 10. I'm sorry. I will take 2.
That was 9. And no, that's not necessarily true for me. That'll be dependent on how deep the league is. I have in a few of our drafts done the Hayden Hurst, Charles Clay combination because I think it's a pretty good one. And I think you can do the same thing with like a Jordan Reed, Charles Clay, or a Jordan Reed, George Kittle, something like that. I have a hard time in our standard drafts that are 14 or 15 rounds when I have to take a defense and a kicker and only have 12 other roster spots with keeping a second tight end on my roster because I know each and every week there are going to be streaming options available.
But I will tell you why you should do it. This is one of those zig when others are zagging or zag when others are zigging, whatever the stupid quote is.
You had okay. it.
I think a lot of fantasy owners this year are going to see the depth at quarterback and they're going to say, oh my God, what a great year to take 2. And then if I hit on my second quarterback, the mother load in a deal, you're never going to get a mother load in trade for a quarterback because literally the roster, the waiver wire is going to be filled with quarterbacks. Everybody's roster is going to have a good quarterback. You're not going to get much for it. Let's say Patrick Mahomes is your second QB and he ends up playing like dynamite. Really, you're doing that in case the quarterback that you intend to be your starter isn't doing as well. Tight end is going to be different because we know that it's a thin position. If you are confident in your tight end picking skills, you can take 2 tight ends this year. And that second tight end, if he hits and if you want to, you can trade him away and you won't get the mother load. Usually you get mother loads for stud running backs, but I think you'll get more in trade for that tight end than you would be for a quarterback.
I can tell you the time when I would take 2 tight ends, and that's when I have a more balanced team. What often happens with me because of snips is I'll start off a draft with 3 wide receivers and a tight end, and then I'm stockpiling 6 running backs at the end of the draft, and I can't take a second tight end. Or I'll start off with 3 straight running backs, and I'm stockpiling wide receivers, trying to make up for that. So in those instances, I don't see any way I'd take a second tight end, but if I have a balanced team and I'm solid everywhere, then I might take a second tight end to protect myself.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I want to give something the listeners can kind of grasp hold of. Gronkowski, Kelce, Ertz. Gronkowski could go as early as the middle of round 2. Ertz probably as late as like early round 4 in a 12-team league. On CBS, he's going 38th overall, so that would be early round 4. But, you know, let's say end of round 3, beginning of round 4. From the middle of round 2 to the end of round 3, those 3 could come off the board, and that's in a 12-team league. So think about that value for them. Or compare it to Graham, Ingram, and Olsen, who are going in round 5, round 6, maybe 55 to 65 overall or something like that. What group are you more likely to take? Mid-round 2 to end of round 3 for the elites, or mid-round 5 to mid-round 6, or early round 5 to mid-round 6 for Graham, Ingram, Olsen?
I can tell you so far, I have more shares of Gronk, Kelsey, Ertz combined than I do Graham, Olsen, Ingram.
Part of the reason why I want those elite tight ends is just so I don't have to deal with the rigmarole of tight ends. Getting a guy who's going to – what's a good tight end? We've talked about this before. Last year, the average fantasy point total for the top 12 tight ends, this includes studs like Gronk, Kelsey, and Ertz, was less than 7 fantasy points per game. So a good week for a fantasy tight end in non-PPR is 7. In full PPR, I think it's like 11. I don't want to deal with streaming. I don't want to have to go to my waiver wire every week or try and make a trade to get a tight end to fill a roster spot when I can just start my draft with one of these studs who should be productive most weeks. I want to get them. I understand that they are expensive and they're not exactly a steal, but the headache is off of my melon for the course, hopefully, of 16 weeks.
Yeah, the tough call, and maybe we'll do it right now, actually. The tough call is, like, let's take Gronkowski. You know, how many wide receivers, how many running backs have to be off the board before you take Gronkowski? The number 9 wide receiver for you guys is Mike Evans or Devontae Adams. Yeah, because Heath has T.Y. Hilton as a top 8 receiver in non-PPR. He is Mike Evans 11th. So would you take Mike Evans or Rob Gronkowski?
Gronk.
Gronk in non-PPR. I think Evans catches enough passes where he's better than Gronk in full PPR.
How about Jerick McKinnon or Gronkowski?
Gronk.
But how about Dalvin Cook or Gronkowski?
Cook. I would take Cook maybe even in the first round in some drafts. So.
Okay, then I'll go down. So 10 for you at running back is Fournette. Fournette or Gronk?
Don't you dare.
I'll still say it's really, I might take Gronk in PPR.
Not me. I'll take Fournette.
All right. So basically what we're talking about here is no quarterbacks. Gronk's going ahead of the quarterbacks, but about 8 wide receivers, about 10 running backs off the board. And we'll start thinking about taking Rob Gronkowski. His ADP is a little bit later than that on Fantasy Pros. It's 24. On CBS, it is 21.
But I will tell you, I was in a draft last night, and I think he went 14th.
Wow.
And like on a per game basis, that's justifiable. Mm-hmm. If he plays 16 games this year, he may be a league winner, even in the second round.
And that's the whole bugaboo of Gronk is, can he play 16 games? I don't think anybody's questioning his ability when he's on the field. They're questioning his availability and whether or not he can survive another NFL season. That's the risk you take, but You got to shoot for the moon with tight end if you can, if you want one bad enough.
And
alternatively, I'm sorry, Adam. Yeah. Alternatively, the plan B to that is if you just can't trust Rob Gronkowski, go after Kelsey or Ertz then.
Well, yeah, I think the difference between Gronk and Kelsey and Ertz is a couple things. One, Zach Ertz has never had a 900-yard season. Gronk and Kelsey, you can probably expect around 1,100 based on recent history. Gronk would be more than that if he would play 16 games. Kelsey only played 15 games last year. He sat out week 17. He had 1,038 yards. Now, Ertz was also derailed by injuries. He played 14 games, and he also was banged up in 2 of them, left one really early. So, you know, he would have gotten probably to 1,000.
But has he ever played 16 games in a season?
Maybe once. Twice. 16, 16, 15, 14, 14 for Zach Ertz.
Okay. That's fine.
The other thing is touchdowns. I mean, if you guys aren't necessarily expecting 8 touchdowns from Kelsey and Ertz, we're definitely expecting 8 touchdowns from Rob Gronkowski. I don't think we'd be surprised with 12 touchdowns from Gronkowski. He had 8 in 14 games last year. That was actually a little bit low. He had 3 touchdowns in about 2.5 postseason games. So, you know, how much better is he than Kelsey and Ertz? And do Kelsey and Ertz scare you at all in the second round or in the third round? Third round in a 12-team league.
No, they don't scare me at that point in the draft. And it's kind of insane because Gronk's ADP is 24 and Kelsey's isn't too far behind. But I do feel like there is a difference between Gronk and Kelsey and Ertz. You're going from – it's almost like Gronk is in his own tier.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He has got his own tier to himself. It's his island. It's his world. He's riding around on a pony, and he's loving life. And then somewhere else, there's Kelsey and Ertz in their own world, which is a nice place, just no pony.
So let's talk auction then, and maybe this will help people. Out of $200, I would pay blank for Rob Gronkowski.
$200? Because all of our auction values are based on $100 auctions.
Yeah, I know. People have been asking me to do $200, so I'm trying to be a man of the people.
Let's start at $35 and throw in a couple of shekels on top of that if you need to.
Yeah, I think I don't think that. I think it might be $45.
What would you pay for him in a $100?
$25.
Well, that's interesting because we did. It was a crazy 10-team auction last week, and I got him for $14. But it was crazy. It was definitely out of the norm. But right, that's absurd. Mm-hmm. $45 seems like a very pretty penny. I think I'd let somebody else pay that much.
But I guess the thing is, because we think of it so much in terms of $100 auctions. Todd Gurley is a $35 player in a $100 auction.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be at least 60 in a $200.
Right.
It's not, probably close to 70.
I think when it comes to the stud players, it's easy to just multiply their $100 value by two. 100 times two is, you know what it is, 200. Right.
Yeah.
Didn't need the calculator for that one.
No, I threw Dave off, by the way. That's why I was trying to cut him off. Out of $200, I would pay blank for Travis Kelce.
25.
Probably 35.
I'm not getting any of these tight ends, Adam. This isn't fair.
Greg Olsen, how much?
In a $200 budget, $10.
14.
Trey Burton.
$9, $10.
Six.
Fine. I got my tight end. Hey! I got one.
Eric Ebron.
A buck or two. No, a buck.
11.
Wait, can I use change?
Two.
$1.25.
All right, so very, very little. We'll do sleepers, breakouts, and busts in a second. But you want to get in the podcast league, so let's get in the podcast league. We are going to have at least two, maybe three podcast leagues. One of them will be, well, I don't know, is this confirmed? All right, I'm just going to say it. One of them is probably going to be a New York City podcast league because it's something that we're going to be doing in person with some New York City people. Don't worry about that one. That one I'll talk about at a later date. What we're going to have is the typical 14-team PPR podcast league. We've already got a few people that are in it. Dave, you already have your partner. I don't know if you remember.
I've got my partner. Yep. Phil and I are ready to kick everybody's butts.
Okay, good. You got your partner. We've got the winner of the NFL draft contest, which I still haven't announced on the air. But we got plenty of spots available there. And then Heath and I are going to run a For the People League. It's going to be a half PPR league. I think it's 10 teams we usually do. No kickers because Heath is the commissioner. And it's very fun. So our email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please put podcast league in the subject line. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, podcast league in the subject line. We want something creative. We want a poem, not necessarily a haiku. We've done those like 2 years in a row. Give us a funny poem about the show, about us, about whatever, about football. Give us a rap. You like Dave's rap? Give us a rap. Either write it or, better yet, record it. Give us something fun. Give us something creative. Actually, I think last year we did creative stuff as well, and we had a really good time with it. A YouTube link would be great if possible. You can attach an audio file if you'd like, if you want to submit that. You don't have to go crazy. I will pick some people who don't go completely all out. You don't have the time for it. I understand. I will try to be fair. But send us your submissions. You'll have a few weeks. It's going to be 2 Mondays from now, which is, what, was it the 20th? Or no, it's, yeah, 2 Mondays from now. I think that's the 20th, whatever that Monday night is at 8 p.m. Eastern. If you can't be in the draft at 8 p.m. Eastern, 2 Mondays from now, please do not submit an entry. Also, you better play your fantasy football on CBSSports.com. To do that, go to CBSSports.com/FFT. That'll let everybody know that the podcast is the reason you're signing up. The leagues are great. They're great for Dynasty. You can trade picks up to 3 years in advance. The commish tools have gotten even better. The app is easier to use. The only place I ever want to play is on CBSSports.com. Of course, I'm biased, but I think you'll all agree. It is really the best. We got a great support, great product. You're going to love it. Go to CBSSports.com/FFT. My favorite sleeper tight end is blank.
George Kittle. And I would begin the season with him as my starter, even though he's got a tough week one matchup against Minnesota.
Okay, George Kittle.
He really liked the Minnesota line.
Yes.
He's cracking up.
Minnesota. That it needs to be from this point forward.
Minnesota. So George Kittle of San Francisco is the 11th tight end off the board.
Now you're just killing the bit.
Dad joke. He's 11th tight end off the board on CBS and right around there on Fantasy Pros. You can get Kittle about round 10, about 120th overall. And Dave, I know you know this stat, you've said it before, but a tight end scored double-digit fantasy points in non-PPR in each of the last four games started by Jimmy Garoppolo. Twice it was Selleck, twice it was Kittle, but four straight games with a tight end getting double-digit fantasy points in non-PPR.
And I'm hearing all about Kittle looking great in training camp. Of course, everybody looks great in training camp this time of year. If you have the chance, go back and watch Kittle last season. He was making plays after the catch, breaking tackles, looking very Gronk-like. And a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I loved Rob Gronkowski. And I was drafting him. This is when he was a rookie, the year after that, too. I was all over Gronk. I've got that same feeling with George Kittle. And the risk involved, the 10th round, 9th round, whatever you end up getting him for, is nothing. So if he sucks, say he, you know, has an ingrown fingernail and he's out 6 weeks, not a big deal. You lose out on a 9th round pick. Who cares?
Yeah, well, you got the wrong second-year tight end. That's the next Gronk, by the way.
No, I don't.
O.J. Howard is the most gifted tight end. Size and speed. Holy cow. That guy can play. And
I just wish he was on a team that would let him.
I hope they do. I hope they do. You're right.
They're not going to.
I hope so, too. But then they went and they spent a lot of money on number 12 tight end Cameron Brate.
They did.
Despite how he finished last season.
Heath, your favorite breakout tight end is? Oh, no, Heath Sleeper. Sleeper.
Ooh, this guy could be a breakout because he's never done anything. So he's definitely going to do more than he's ever done before. But I will say Hayden Hurst.
What a shock.
Hayden Hurst. The Baltimore Ravens threw the ball 134 times last year to a combination of Ben Watson, Nick Boyle, and Max Williams.
That's Max with two X's.
Two X's. Max. they led Dennis Pitta to an 80-catch season 2 years ago. They love throwing the ball to tight ends. They knew they did not have a good one, so they went out and drafted a grown-ass man in the first round, and Hayden Hurst is that man.
Hayden Hurst or George Kittle?
Hayden Hurst.
Kittle.
Hayden Hurst or Tyler Eifert?
Hayden Hurst.
Eifert.
Not a fan, Dave?
No, I want to see it. Even if he does score a touchdown in the Hall of Fame game, I don't care. I want to see it.
Wouldn't you like to see Tyler Eifert play in a football game?
I've done that. I've done that before. Well, I've seen him.
This year.
No, not yet.
Okay. So Hurst is 12th for Jamie, 10th for Heath, and 27th for Dave. He's not
Dave
quite there.
Dave hates his guts.
All right, next up, breakouts.
I'm not a huge fan.
Breakout tight ends. Heath, who's your favorite breakout?
I'll steal Dave's and say Trey Burton. And I don't even know if I like him quite as much as Dave does, but he's got the opportunity. I kind of go back and forth with him and Evan Ingram. I could even see ranking him as high as number 6 at the position if you wanted to go out on a limb with him. But we know Matt Nagy is going to run an offense that heavily involves the tight ends. They went out and gave Trey Burton a pretty fair amount of money. I would expect Trubisky's going to target him early and often, and Burton is a very athletic player.
Yep.
So that is my breakout because there's really only like one breakout tight end. Kittle could be considered a breakout tight end too, but he's just going so late in drafts that he feels more like a sleeper. Can I just give you another sleeper, maybe a deeper sleeper?
Sure.
Peep this deep sleep. Mike Gesicki of the Miami Dolphins, who could fit into a role that's very conducive for a lot of targets. Short area passes from Ryan Tannehill. We know that's where he likes to go with the football. We saw him do it for years with Jarvis Landry. And Gesicki's been looking good as a pass catcher, not as a blocker, but as a pass catcher for the Dolphins. When Miami plays Tampa Bay, keep an eye out for Gesicki. He could end up being a decent streamer to begin the year. He's got Tennessee in week one, at the Jets week two, Oakland in week three.
And I'll give a deeper sleeper as well. I like Jake
you
Buck,
like, you
and
not,
I cannot lie.
There it is. That's a dad joke, right? I knew where you were going with that.
Jake Butt, reports coming out yesterday or the day before that he's now working with the first team. I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a little bit of noise tonight in Minnesota. He is very excited to get on the field, and this was an extremely good tight end prospect until he suffered that injury at Michigan. The Broncos drafted him even though they knew he wouldn't contribute last year. Now he's going to.
What kind of noise would Butt make?
Boom. He's going to bring the boom.
So, it's possible that Evan Engram has a breakout year. I know people are very split on him. We're probably going to talk about him when I ask you about but I just want to say, like, you know, Trey Burton seems like an obvious breakout. He was very good in two games without Zach Ertz. We don't have much to go off of, but a lot of reasons to like him. But Evan Engram, he's being drafted 61st overall on CBS. He's the fifth tight end off the board, and there are a lot of reasons to be worried about him. We also know he's a great talent, showed a lot last year, and I'm actually looking forward to getting into him. So, blank will be a bust. Who's it going to be? Dave, you start.
I'm not buying the hype about David Njoku.
Okay.
Just not. I think he'll disappoint you. He'll be a lot like he was last year.
All right. Yeah, he went a little earlier. He's the 13th tight end off the board. So David Njoku is a bust. Heath, how about you?
Well, you said you were excited to talk about Evan Engram.
There you go.
Let's do it. Yeah, I just don't see any way he matches anything close to last year's 115 targets. And he wasn't extremely efficient with those targets in the first place. So if you see him lose even 10% of his targets, I think he's going to be worse than he was last year. With Greg Olsen healthy, I expect a bounce back from Delanie Walker. I don't know why you would take him as the number five tight end. I don't think he's a breakout candidate at tight end because I don't see a reasonable path to being better than he was last year.
What if he's just a great player? You know what? You know what? Hang on one second. I talked to you about the Google Assistant. Okay, I got the app on my phone. Heath and I were talking off the air about how cool it is. We're gonna put it to the test. So I tried it out during a draft recently. I was stuck between two players. I kind of knew where I was going. It was Darius Geis versus Jay Ajayi, but I was like thinking about it, and I said, let me ask the Google Assistant. Let me see what happens. So basically, I'm actually going to show you exactly how you do it. You talk to the app. It makes things easier on you. It gives you a second opinion, third opinion, whatever it is, and it's really fun to use. Google Assistant is a great tool for fantasy football players. We're going to show you how it's done right now with a tight end debate. So Dave and Heath, why don't you guys debate Evan Engram versus Kyle Rudolph? I thought you were going to go with Rudolph as your bust, Dave, to be honest with you, but you didn't. So why don't you guys debate those two, and then when you're done, we will ask the Google Assistant and break the tie. So Heath, continue on Evan Engram. My question to you would be, he wasn't that efficient he was a rookie tight end. It finished as the number five tight end in fantasy last year. Pretty good. Very athletic player. The Giants like him. Maybe he's just really good. That's his angle to breaking out. Tell me why tell me why he's a bust.
I do not think Evan Engram is a bad player. He has to be really good to match what he did last year, and I don't think what he did last year will be good enough to be the number five tight end this year because of the aforementioned Greg Olsen injury and Jimmy Graham now playing with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Dave, you are more optimistic about Evan Engram.
He's my number four tight end, and it's not because I think he can get into the same type of production level as Kelce and Ertz. I just think that there's a clear divide between the top three and then the rest of the class. I think he's got the most upside of any other tight end, though. Here's what I can tell you. In his last five seasons, Eli Manning has averaged at least 112 targets per year just to his tight ends. Engram had 115 last season. Pat Shurmur's tight end groups, so this is sometimes a case where there's multiple tight ends getting the numbers, have totaled at least 700 yards and or 6+ touchdowns in three of his last four seasons as a play caller. Engram also finished last year fourth in fantasy points per game and left a ton of numbers on the field. He had 11 drops, the efficiency rate, 55% catch rate. It was ugly, and he still managed to be very, very good for fantasy purposes because of the role that he was in. Is his role isn't changing. It's the opportunities that figure to change, but I think having Odell Beckham on the field and having Saquon Barkley in the backfield will make things easier on Evan Engram because it stretches defenses farther. And there's a pretty legit track record that I just told you about of both Eli Manning and Pat Shurmur utilizing the tight end. Pat Shurmur talked about it this week on satellite radio that he sees improvement in Engram. And I talked to a Giants beat reporter just to get an idea of what I was getting myself into with Engram. The reporter said that there was one day in training camp, one day where Engram had a couple of drops and he didn't look like himself. Every other day, before and after that day, he's looked fine.
Well, it's warm.
He had a little bit of trouble.
I'm not going to blame his drops on weather. I'll blame the drops on concentration, maybe just the way that the ball is coming out. How many of them might have come from a different quarterback other than Eli?
I will counter by saying that Dave's points about Eli Manning averaging 120 targets for the tight end and
a little less than that.
A little less than 120 targets for his tight ends, mm-hmm. and the 706 for the tight end group from Shermer kind of go back to the point though. Because last year, even during Evan Ingram's breakout, Rhett Ellison had 32 targets for 235 yards and two touchdowns. Evan Ingram's not going to get all of the tight end targets or all of the tight end yards. So if you're expecting 120 targets for tight ends and 700 yards and six touchdowns, Evan Ingram's a bust.
Let's go to Kyle Rudolph now, because Dave has Kyle Rudolph 11th and Heath has him 6th. And really what I noticed about Rudolph is that, you know, 2016 he was the number two tight end in fantasy. 2017 he was like 7th. He was 6th in non-PPR, 8th in PPR. He actually averaged more fantasy points per target last year than he did in 2016. Now, I'm not a huge Rudolph fan because I thought he was never going to get the 32 targets he got in 2016 again. And he would be a bust when the targets came down because he didn't do that much with them. But Kirk Cousins has a really good history, good track record with tight ends. Maybe the targets go back up. They were at 81 last year. So, Heath, you like Kyle Rudolph more than Evan Ingram, and you have him 6th. And then we'll throw it to Dave, who has Rudolph 11th. Go ahead, Heath.
Yeah, and you made a lot of my points for me in your introduction to Kyle Rudolph. Oh, okay. I mean, he does have a quarterback that likes to throw the ball to his tight end. I do expect they come up. They're not going to be 132 again. You were right about that. But I think it'll be higher than the 81 targets he got in 2017, just because Cousins is going to lean on a little more. And there are some things going on with the Vikings offensive line that may lead them to throwing more short passes, and that would work in Kyle Rudolph's favor.
All right, Dave, what don't you like about Rudolph?
Touchdown dependency. Thy name is Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah.
I think Shakespeare wrote that. His track record is pretty clear that if he doesn't score a touchdown, he's not going to be great for your fantasy team. Once in his 7 years in the NFL, has he given you 7 fantasy points or more without scoring a touchdown? He's given you at least 60 yards in 8 of his last 32 games.
Wow.
So Cousins better look for Kyle Rudolph a lot in the end zone, like week after week, or else he's going to leave you with 4, 6, 5, 6, 4. And you're going to say, why the H-E double hockey sticks? Pardon my French. Did I draft Kyle Rudolph?
I need a clarification on the once he scored 7 fantasy points without a touchdown?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's had one 70-yard game in his career? Is that basically what it is?
Pretty much.
Okay. Or maybe he had a fumble in a game or something like that. It knocked him down. Okay. All right, so you know what? Let's break the tie. And here's what you do. You get the app out. Hey, Google, talk to CBS Sports.
Hi, this is CBS Sports, and we are using our fantasy football computer projections and expert rankings to answer your player-specific draft questions. Ask a question like, should I draft Matt Ryan, or should I draft Matt Ryan or Alex Smith?
Should I draft Evan Ingram or Kyle Rudolph?
Take Evan Engram. He is projected to be the number 4 tight end in both standard and PPR leagues. Kyle Rudolph is projected to be the number 6 tight end in both standard and PPR leagues.
How about that?
What else would you like to know?
Sorry, thank you. Thank you very much.
Can you ask it, Vicar Ryan?
I would break it. You guys both got a projection right. Dave has Ingram 4th and Heath has Rudolph 6th. So how about that? But Google Assistant breaks the tie and goes with Evan Ingram. And it's just fun. It's really cool. It's really easy to use. Download the Google Assistant. You can ask it those types of questions. I've had a lot of fun with it, and I think you will too. Also, each week we're going to tackle a key fantasy question, so submit your Google Assistant questions to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com or at CBS Fantasy on Twitter to have your questions answered next week live on HQ. At CBS Fantasy, if you want it on HQ, submit a question at CBS Fantasy. You can download the Google Assistant app, or you can use Google Assistant on Android all season long by just saying, hey Google, talk to CBS Sports. All right, I think it's time to get into ADP and talk about some more players here. So let's start with Rob Gronkowski. I think we've covered him sufficiently. If he plays 16 games, he could perform like a first rounder. You know, he usually plays about 14 games now. You know, he missed one game due to a suspension last year. But games played in his last four seasons, 15, 15, 8, and 14. That said, he got a concussion in the playoffs. He maybe was seriously, maybe not seriously talking about retirement. There are definitely some risks, but we love Gronk. All right, Travis Kelce, and then Zach Ertz. 28th overall for Kelce, 37th overall, beginning of round four in a 12-team league for Zach Ertz. What are the likelihood that they're busts?
The same likelihood that they get hurt.
That's it? Because here's something with Kelce. For whatever reason, he only had three targets inside the 10-yard line. That was weird, but I think that'll come up. They've never had a number three option like Sammy Watkins or Tyreek Hill. You know, they've never had three good options. And Kelce has dominated targets. I mean, the third most targeted Kansas City player in Kelce's four seasons has not had more than 76 targets at all. And only once has the third most targeted player had more than 63 targets. So I think we think Watkins gets more than 76. Yeah, that's just all I'm saying. Like maybe Watkins takes away.
I think the defense is probably, and maybe not. Maybe I'm not remembering 2014 well, but this probably is the worst defense the Chiefs have had since Travis Kelce became a Chief. And I think that Patrick Mahomes, I've been toying with the idea. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to do a projections update this weekend. I think I may have to add a few pass attempts to Patrick Mahomes because I think the Chiefs are going to have to throw it more. They're going to have to score points this year.
Dave Ertz, you know, Carson Wentz is not going to play in the preseason. Coming off the injury. Now, Ertz did very well with Nick Foles. You actually have Ertz ahead of Kelce in non-PPR. Kelce ahead in PPR. What's the danger in Zach Ertz?
The danger in Zach Ertz is that the rise of Dallas Goedert is faster than anybody thought. And for what it's worth, he's having a nice camp. And the Eagles end up using him like they did Trey Burton. And somebody, Mike Wallace, steps up and takes some touchdowns. Alshon Jeffrey heals up and finds the end zone more. Nelson Aguilar is a receiver that I'm really starting to get into drafting at around 100th overall. He continues his touchdown tear from a year ago. The other concern is what happens if Carson Wentz gets hurt again? And I think everybody is a little bit nervous about him. I'm not nervous, but a lot of people are about Carson Wentz not being quite at 100%. What if he's not as effective of a passer? What if he takes another hit to his knee? And then that leaves us with Nick Foles, who was great in, you know, a couple of really important playoff games, but not sure if he can string together a full season or half the season, whatever it ends up being, if Wentz misses time.
Well, here's Ertz's
fantasy
points.
But here's
points,
what I'm saying is that I think the downside is that Ertz is connected to Wentz very much so.
I don't,
probably more so than Mahomes is connected to Kelce.
Yeah, I don't worry about the Wentz part of it. I worry about the touchdowns a little bit.
Yeah,
but
me too.
We've got as big, if not bigger, sample of Nick Foles being awesome as we do Carson Wentz.
Oh, come on. So
now, no, the 2013 Nick Foles was
awesome.
I know, I know.
Awesome.
Two interceptions and
MVP caliber. Like, okay. So anyway,
yes.
Carson.
Yes.
Zach Ertz.
It was a completely different system.
It was the Chip Kelly garbage. Like, nobody took him seriously. Zach Ertz scored in six games with Nick Foles, including the postseason, in non-PPR, 11, 8, 2, 3, 9, and 13 fantasy points. Did very well in four of the six games. Yeah, I think the touchdowns, because like I said, he had 3, 2, 4, and 8 touchdowns in his last four seasons for Ertz. If we're expecting touchdown regression from Carson Wentz, are we expecting it from Ertz? And he hasn't gotten to 900 yards yet. And he's had some injuries, so.
I've got him for 79, 885, and 6.
I don't think 79, 885, and 6 is necessarily round 3 worthy.
I just said that, and I think maybe you're right.
I would tack on a couple of touchdowns. I think he can do better than 6. He's healthy. And if Wentz does what we expect him to do, I know I laid out a gloomy picture of what could happen if Wentz isn't ready, but I think Wentz realizes that he just doesn't need the preseason and he doesn't want to, like, deal with it. And if he's back practicing with the Eagles, that's good enough for me.
Cool. All right, next group. Now it gets more fun. More scary, too. Jimmy Graham, fourth tight end off the board. Evan Engram, fifth. Greg Olsen, sixth. I'm going to go back to Fantasy Pros. But these are rounds 5 and 6, guys, in a 12-team league. Jimmy Graham, Evan Engram, Greg Olsen. Thoughts?
Well, you know where I come out with Engram, and I just think he's got the most upside of the group. I would probably say that Olsen, of these three tight ends, Olsen is the safest.
Yes, I view Olsen and Graham very, very similarly. I like Graham a little bit more in non-PPR because I think he's going to score more touchdowns. I like Olsen a little bit more in PPR because he'll make up for it in receptions. It won't be but another week if Jimmy Graham is still on the sidelines with his knee injury that I'll start getting worried about that.
Greg Olsen, 33 years old. I looked at Tony Gonzalez at age 33, Antonio Gates at age 33. They were starting to slip a little bit, but they still were able to put up good numbers. Olsen is coming off his first injury-plagued season. He has never scored more than 8 touchdowns in a season, never more than 7 with the Panthers. And it makes sense because Cam Newton doesn't throw that many touchdowns typically except for his one MVP year. And Olsen was just bad last year. I mean, he had 191 yards. Yeah, but he played 7 games and he had more than 27 yards in one of them. That's amazing. And I think he did it in the playoffs, too.
I almost think that the foot injury happened pretty early on in the year.
Week 3, yeah.
Yeah, and then he tried to come back. And
yep, you're right.
Look, I think that there's enough of a track record of Olsen going back before 2017 that fantasy owners can feel good about. I'll also throw this at you. The offensive line in Carolina is getting ugly. They've lost a starter to injury. And it could mean shorter, quicker passes for Cam Newton.
Guys, I'm sorry. I don't see how a bad offensive line is good for anyone. And if those short,
means more targets and more catches for Olsen.
No, it means a worse passing game. Like,
well, when you're thinking about 7-step drops, of course.
But that's what Cam Newton does.
No, he can line up in the shotgun, get the snap, and fire.
Yeah,
he's gonna have.
He can, but he's an extremely inaccurate quarterback.
He's throwing it 6-7 yards.
To Christian McCaffrey. All right, so look.
No, to Greg Olsen.
So Olsen, Graham, Engram, it seems like a risky group to me.
Well, welcome to tight ends after TE3.
Yeah. All right.
There
then,
is no
next group.
Feel-good fourth.
Next group then. Delanie Walker, Kyle Rudolph, Jordan Reed, and Trey Burton. Now we are into 10 tight ends. These guys are going in round 7 and 8 in a 12-team league. Delanie Walker, Kyle Rudolph, Jordan Reed, and Trey Burton.
Delanie Walker gets overlooked a lot. I think he might be the safest tight end after you get past round 6. So if you just want somebody who can man that spot and get you some yardage. He's done that in his past. I think he's a good one to target in that round 8-9 range, depending on what your scoring is. It's going to be round 8 if it's PPR, round 9 if not. But there really hasn't been a standout receiver in Titans camp. Matthews has been sidelined. Tywan Taylor has been getting a lot of good looks, but it's Tywan Taylor. He might be the slot guy. Corey Davis has been on and off the field. Delanie Walker's been old reliable for Marcus Mariota, and I think the new offensive scheme that they're putting in will benefit Delanie Walker.
Yeah.
He is safe, Adam. He is somebody that if you're waiting on tight end, especially in PPR, you shouldn't be unhappy if he ends up being on your team.
Yeah. Delanie Walker led the team in targets with 111 last year. Rishard Matthews was second with 87. And then Eric Decker, who's not even on the team, had 83. And now they've got a new offensive coordinator. Maybe they throw the ball a little bit more, new philosophy. And, you know, Walker is just like Rudolph. He had a great year. It was 2015. He had 133 targets. And he hasn't been able to duplicate that. That's a lot. I mean, that's a ton. But maybe he gets closer to that if they throw the ball more. If I could ask a general question. You know, like, I don't know that anybody wins their league because they have Delanie Walker. You know? He's just kind of steady. Or maybe same with Kyle Rudolph. Does it make sense to take a guy with more upside like Trey Burton?
Yes, I would do that.
Heath, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know in PPR that Trey Burton necessarily has more upside than Delanie Walker. Like, we view Delanie Walker as not having upside because he's old, right? But he could still lead this team in targets.
Could lead him in yards.
He could
lead him in touchdowns.
He could be top three or four at the position in receptions. So I'd definitely lean towards Walker in PPR, and I'm probably still taking him over him in non-PPR.
I did say Jordan Reed, right? Yeah, so it was Walker, Rudolph, Jordan Reed, and Trey Burton.
Reed's the really interesting one.
Sure
and
is.
If he actually, it's sounding more and more positive. He's saying that he's pain-free. If he's actually playing in preseason games, I'm going to have to move him way up the rankings because he has that Kelce, Ertz, Gronk upside.
And
but he also has that
Tyler Eifert downside.
Sure. Let's say that instead of what I was going to say because what I was going to say wasn't really very nice. I like his schedule to start the year. He's at Arizona. He's home versus Indy. He's home against Green Bay. Alex Smith for 1 year played like Drew Brees. In the previous 12 years or however long he's been in the NFL, 10 years, he played like Alex Smith. It would not surprise me in the least if he went back to Alex Smith, instead of Drew Brees Alex Smith, and leaned a lot on Jordan Reed, Jamison Crowder, those short area passes that are all within, you know, close range of the line of scrimmage, easy throws. And Reed is someone you can draft late and ride with until he breaks.
And let's not forget, Kelce has been the number one tight end in fantasy in PPR two straight years. He was second in non-PPR last year. Alex Smith got the job done. And Jordan Reed, in his in his healthy season 3 years ago, was the number two tight end. He was amazing. Then, in 2016, he was on pace to be the number two tight end again. And then in 2017, pretty much a lost season due to injury. Somebody asked me about handcuffing Reed with Vernon Davis and just taking both of them.
Nope.
I don't think that's the worst idea.
I think it's a horrible idea. Why would you? Well, hold on. Let's qualify this. Let's say it's a regular fantasy league that goes 15 rounds, 12 teams. I don't care if it's PPR or not. And you start one tight end. Why would you put Vernon Davis on your roster?
Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point.
When you can go and you could get Kittle, Eifert, Ebron, Njoku, Doyle, Gesicki.
I'll tell you why.
Watson, right now. Hayden Hurst.
Let me read you the yards for Vernon Davis starting in week four.
No one's drafting him.
89, 65. That's fine, but if Jordan Reed gets hurt, everybody's going to want him off waivers.
I don't know about that.
Okay, I won't belabor it. It's not worth it. Moving on in ADP, George Kittle in round 10, end of round 10, beginning of round 11. And then let's get into the Colts, guys. Jack Doyle, followed by David Njoku, then Tyler Eifert, then O.J. Howard. Why am I not seeing Eric Ebron? I may have skipped over
him. Because no one wants to.
Oh, yeah, because he's going. He's tight end 22.
Yeah, he's outscored at least half of those tight ends ahead of him.
Dude, he has been so bad in his NFL career. Like, we grasp at straws for reasons to like Eric Ebron.
He just got married.
Oh. Well, then.
Yeah, I think that you don't have to grasp quite as hard. Like, he has not finished as low as he is being drafted since his rookie year.
He's
been better than that every year. Mm-hmm. He was like the number two tight end in the second half of 2017.
17? Yeah, toward the end. And he had 711 yards in 13 games in 2016, but he only caught one touchdown.
So I don't think you have to reach that hard.
Okay.
I know we bag on Eric Ebron a lot more than he deserves.
We bag on him because he hasn't come through.
But he has come through more than some of the guys that are going to be drafted in front of him.
Well, sure, because some of the guys have barely played or in the case of a couple, if he's ranked 22, there's probably a couple of players in front of him who, I don't know, maybe there's a rookie ahead of him, for example. Here's what I'm getting at. I get that switching to the scheme that's coming up in Indianapolis is going to be a good thing for him. Having Andrew Luck a quarterback should be a real good thing. Is it that much better than what he was doing in Detroit? And is Andrew Luck a supreme upgrade to Matthew Stafford? I shrug. I don't know if that's the case.
Well, then you shouldn't have fully healthy Matthew Stafford that far behind maybe healthy Andrew Luck in your rankings.
Well, can I just add this? Can I just add this? If Jack Doyle got hurt and we're out for the year, yeah, I would get excited about Eric Ebron. But
No. See, this is another misconception that's going on with this Colts offense. Because this might be what makes you actually think twice about drafting Eric Ebron, and maybe this isn't such a bad thing. We all know who the top targeted receiver should be in Indianapolis this year, right? Who should that be?
T.Y. Hilton.
Who's second?
Jack Doyle.
Maybe. Or?
What do you think?
I think it could be Ebron. And the reason why is because I think they view him as a mismatch type of receiver who happens to be a tight end. And Frank Reich is familiar with that because he coached Zach Ertz and Trey Burton last couple of years in Philadelphia. And I think that I'm almost positive we're going to see a lot of two tight end sets from the Colts.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the red zone.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean that Eric Ebron's going to get a lot of those targets. Jack Doyle might have more touchdowns than Eric Ebron by the end of the year, but it wouldn't surprise me if Ebron had 40 more targets than Jack Doyle.
I have Ebron projected for the second most targets on the Colts, so what I agree with that.
100%. But what do you have it at? What is that number?
91.
Yeah.
What about taking both of them and seeing how it shakes out?
I think you might be wasting your time.
Why?
Because you don't know which one to start each week.
Well, that's going to be a problem all year. But what if one of them becomes featured, you know, and we get a kind of a glimpse of it?
I don't know. I don't see that happening.
Not into it?
All right. No. And, yeah, I'm just not.
Okay. All right, listen, I'm going to fire away with some more tight ends. And I just want you to tell me who you're interested in drafting. You know, I think we can sort of not pay attention to ADP because we're late enough in the draft. We're past round 10. David Njoku.
Late round pick, if that.
Yeah, I'm not excited.
OJ Howard.
Not drafting.
I can't draft him. I want to, Adam. I know why you like him. I agree with you. I just think he's in a rotten spot.
Yeah. What was the stat? Like, every time he got more than 4 targets or something like that, He had a huge game. In case anybody's interested, OJ Howard, 5 games with either 4 to 6 targets. He had 52 or more yards in all 5 games and 5 touchdowns. And never had more than 6 targets in any of those games. All right. OJ Howard, they want to see it. Tyler Eifert.
I think he's an excellent pick with one of your final 3 choices.
Hayden Hurst. I know Heath, you like
him. Go get him!
Okay.
Was that the Macho Man?
That was kind of, yeah, a little bit.
That sounded like Randy Savage.
I'm so excited.
That makes me want to draft Hayden Hurst.
I'm so excited about the Twitter poll that I posted that I can't think about anything else.
What was it? And I'll tell you the dad joke at the end of the show. I remembered it.
Okay, I put up Nick Foles' sophomore stats against Carson Wentz's sophomore stats without names. 85% of people said Foles was better.
Oh, my God. Bro. Like, he wasn't. You got to get over it. Like, Carson Wentz, use your
eyes.
He
was better statistically.
Use your eyes, sure. But he wasn't better. And what were his rushing stats? Did he rush for 300 yards?
You can give the 300 yards to Wentz.
Okay.
He averaged 9.1 yards per attempt. 119 QB rating.
And on a related note, UCLA's offense should be a lot of fun to watch this year.
Okay. Yeah. Who else we got? Mike Gesicki, we talked about. Jared Cook.
There's some people that take him late. I don't
get it.
He's a streamer against a good matchup.
Ricky Seals-Jones.
Kind of excited about him.
There are people who are excited. Heath is one of them. I've heard that it's been very hot and cold at camp. I don't think I'd spend the.
They really don't like that he can't block at all. They talk about that too much.
Austin Seferian. Well, he can't get into the bathroom either. Austin Seferian Jenkins.
ASJ probably won't be A-OK. Streaming tight end.
Ben Watson.
That's an interesting one as far as tight ends to begin your season with. And another guy to look at late on draft day. Tampa Bay at home week 1, Cleveland at home week 2, at Atlanta week 3, shootout perhaps, at the Giants in week 4, shootout perhaps, Washington at home in week 5 on Monday night. That's a nice little start for Benjamin Watson,
yeah,
isn't
not
it?
Bad, not bad.
That could also be one of your last picks. What if your last 2 picks on draft day, say you go the whole draft without a tight end, and you're in round 14, and you've already got your kicker, you've already got your defense, your team's loaded, you go back-to-back with Tyler Eifert and Ben Watson. The all-old injured combo platter at tight end, but it might be something that gets you off to a good start.
Last three guys, Cameron Brate, Charles Clay, Vance McDonald.
McDonald is an interesting one. Yes. Hearing good things about him in Pittsburgh, but we know that there's an injury history with him too.
All right, yeah. I mean, there's a guy to put on your radar.
Yeah. Pittsburgh plays really at deep, Cleveland week one.
That's a good matchup.
So my son has a lot of hair. I don't know if you've seen the pictures. He was born with like a full head of hair.
He's your son. I wouldn't expect anything less.
First thing people say to me is, wow, look at that hair. But he also is developing like a legit mullet. It is really long in the back. So we were talking about what to do, my wife and I. You know, do we cut it? Like, do we take it to somebody to get cut? We couldn't figure it out. And I said, you know what, Allie? Mullet over.
Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well done, sir.
That's your tight end preview. Tomorrow, IDP. We'll have Chris Harris on to talk IDP and recap preseason week one. A lot of games tonight. Get excited. See you later, everybody.